Well, let's get ready to receive the word. Not that we haven't been doing the word. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you will, open up to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And my message this morning is, be of good courage. Hallelujah. Be of good courage. For you serve a kingdom that cannot be shaken.
Amen.
Now, this is a fitting message after the election. And a lot of us might not have went the way that we had hoped. But you know what? You and I as believers, we do our part while we're here because a part of that has our natural life attached to it, such as voting, so forth, so on. But I got news for you people. Every one of you, the Bible declares you're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And your kingdom's not of this world. And you've been sent here by God once He bought your life with a price. Once He paid for it, then you switch citizenships whether you realized it or not. And the person you're now serving has been elected by God Himself. Until His kingdom is complete, He's not going to be dethroned nor revoted in. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so while you're here, the best way is to look at everything from the viewpoint or the perspective of what's up ahead for you now as being believers here. And I got news for you. What's up ahead for you according to the kingdom of God is not predicated on who won the election. It's predicated on the one whom elected you as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise God. So in Matthew chapter 5, let's go to verse 1. And I love this particular chapter. We're not going to read everything, but I want to read to make a point about something. And seeing the multitudes, He went up on a mountain. And when He was seated, His disciples came to Him. Then He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. And blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. But you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown down out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world." Notice He said, of the world. He didn't say, "You're the light of the Jewish kingdom." Are you following me? He didn't say, "You are the light of Israel." He said, "You're the light of the world." Now, when you think about the religious man in that day, and how everything was centered around what the nation of Israel was representing for the God in the heaven, the third heaven, these kind of words that came out of Jesus offended them. They did not know what He was saying. He was saying things that they thought they had the answer to. And He goes on to say, Do thy light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house." Listen, if you're the salt of the earth, then you're the light of the world. And God doesn't mean to have you put yourself under a clay pot. Actually, basket's what the translation, but actually it was a clay pot that when it was put over the lamp, it would put the lamp out. Now notice this. He says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now,
in Matthew chapter 6. Let's jump over to Matthew chapter 6. And let's read at verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. And in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deeds may be seen in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And that was what Lonnie said, and that's what the response was to me and these people here. Now watch this. You got to get a hold of this. That your charitable deeds may be in secret, and that your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on their corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the rewards. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. And in this manner, therefore, pray. Now, we're going to stop there, and then he goes into the model prayer. But I want to share something with you. When Jesus came onto the scene and gave the Sermon on the Mount, the religious man was shocked. Because Jesus took a position of what? Declaring the constitution of the kingdom of the heavens for the whole earth and not for the nation of Israel. Now, if you were a religious Jew, you would be appalled at this message. You would look at him as another Trump. Are you following me? Saying things that just appalled men. And not realizing what kingdom Jesus served. And he was not there to serve the nation of Israel only. He was there to serve the whole world. And he said, he mentioned the world. He didn't mention just the nation of Israel. He mentioned the world. And that's where he went. Jesus went to the place called the whole world. And he said, this is how, when you pray, this is how you pray to your heavenly Father. And he wasn't praying to affect just Israel. He was praying so that we would affect the world. We would be the salt of the earth. And people don't really realize that when they deal with this. And so Jesus, what he was doing, he was defining very clearly the religious man from the true man of God. Now, the nation of Israel, when the Jewish scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, when they heard him preach this, later on it was defined as a religious man called the harlot. And it was birthed out of that nation. I was surprised when I discovered the interpretation of what a prostitute was from a harlot. And did you know that those two words were not defined until the nation of Israel was formed? The heathen nations didn't look at things from the negative viewpoint that the nation of Israel began to define to the world. This is what a prostitute is, because the world didn't look at it as prostitution. This is what a harlot's about. A harlot didn't even exist until Jesus cut a covenant with that nation, and that nation went to whoring with other gods. There's where the word harlotry birthed itself. So God literally formed the understanding of what a harlot was. And see, the world didn't know that. Matter of fact, the world doesn't understand that a prostitute commits the fornication, but harlotry devotes its heart to another god. That's why the nation of Israel defined the word harlotry. I looked up the meaning. It says, to go a whoring to serve another god. A harlot means spiritual prostitution. It means to pollute, defile. It means a defilement. And it wasn't referring to that which is of the flesh. It was referring to whom are you serving in your mind? The true God. And Satan went after that nation to defile it because Jesus came out of it. And the first thing Jesus wanted to do is he wanted to expose what their heavenly Father was really about. And they were so smugged and so felt so perfect in their little worship of religion that they missed their own God manifesting himself in their midst. See, I didn't understand what the Babylonian system was until recently. Babylon is called the Great Mystery Babylon. Because I've been reading and studying the book of Revelations intently. And it never dawned on me that Babylon was the mother of harlotry. And that so shocked me. You mean to tell me that Babylon is the one that mothered harlots? And understanding where the Jews are coming from. What is a harlot? One that'll go to bed with anything. Yep. And it was referring to that which was spiritually centered.
Right.
And I never understood the mystery Babylon until finally praying in. People, I'm going to tell you something. You haven't been coming Wednesday night. You need to come Wednesday night. And you will divinely regret ever despising praying in tongues. That is a language for our generation dispensation. It is the revealing of Scripture. Now, the enemy has hit that tongue because that tongue violates any language that is spoken in this world. It is the language that reveals God to the heart of men. And if you despise that language, you're putting a ceiling on humanity to understand who God really is. Are you following me? And so you've got these harlotries. That means the harlot meant there are many ways to God. There are many ways to God. You can carve your own image of the God you want to serve. But see, people seem to forget. What is Babylon? What is the mystery? I prayed it out. I hung on that sucker until finally it lit up in me. It is the wealth of the world in control of Satan himself. And that is what bought harlotry. That's what produced them. There's a form of harlotry going through the church today because its focus is on wealth. And that's why we got to avoid that love for money. Now, God told me something because I've been standing in for some of my investments. And God told me, he says, Satan went back to his original position by the multitude of his great merchandise. Pride lifted up in his heart. And we seem to forget it was the wealth of the kingdom of heaven that perverted his thinking.
Yes.
And he's trying to get that same perversion back into the earth for men to think along the avenue of money solves all problems. The problem is, without the kingdom of heaven at work within your heart, you have no control over that power. Men think they do. But I've even seen believers not even touch wealth and money take them out of the church. Take them away from the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because they didn't know how powerful that Babylon system is. And it mentions in Revelation chapter 18 what Babylon's made up of. All the wealth of the world. Everything down to flour.
Yep.
You don't realize when you go to a grocery store nowadays, you're buying part of that Babylonian system.
Yeah.
But the beautiful thing about it is God promises in His Word very clearly. He says even though Satan has the control of the wealth of the world, all I have to do is preach faith in the heart of a believer, and he can reach into that system and pull the wealth out of it to himself if he can believe. The wealth of the righteous, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, and I had to change my way of thinking about my investment. It is not up to the world to determine whether wealth will come to me. It's up to my heart with God and the purpose of serving that money for His kingdom. Now I can reach into that system and claim it for myself. Why? Not so that I would heap it on myself, but so that this kingdom of heaven can be served in my freedom. Where is my freedom? It's wealth that God has permitted me to have to affect the world with, not my own personal life. And that's why you'll find when people do come into money, they forget God. That's why Jesus decided to abandon the nation of Israel, because they allowed Satan to put his Babylonian system into their synagogues. And he made that whip and went in there and started cleaning them out. He says, this is a house of prayer. This is not a place where you make money. You have to be careful. With the issue of money, you have to be careful. We have to reach out to you for your benefit of giving into our ministry. But if we take the benefit of us having money over your well-being, we're in error. Even as a church, we have to take and we have to set up checks and balances that are proper in this body. Why? Because if we don't, then we're doing dishonor for what you sacrificed to give to us. We have to control our money with you in mind, because you're the ones believing God for your personal income. And so when you're giving into our kingdom, we have to make sure our stewardship is above reproach. There is no place in it of darkness, so that the Satan can't put any handle on us, and so that the things that God wants us to do will be accomplished. And I got a good administrator. I got a good financial secretary. And we do everything in integrity. And my staff and all of us, we're like partners together. If we succeed, we all rejoice. If we lack, we all feel the lack. Are you following me? But everything is above board and above reproach. Are you following me? That's how these people will follow me, as long as I keep my heart right with God. But I'm meaning to say this. The system of this world is run by that Babylonian system. That's why you've got so many religions coming out and saying there's so many ways to God. They've been bought. Yeah. And we don't look at it that way. But I'll tell you what, when I saw this effect of it, man, I'll tell you what, it gave me such confidence and such peace. I can do anything I want for the kingdom of God. All I have to do is be obedient to what little I'm accounted for, and He will give an increase to it. He even says that in the Word of God. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. Our economy is quite well, thank you. We don't have a deficit in our kingdom. Our kingdom is debt-free. Hallelujah. We're a citizen of that kingdom. And guess what? I have been bought with a price. Call the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm free. My whole concept is not what I've got here in the natural. My whole concept is what God birthed in my heart, so that I can have faith towards Him that whatever I need, I can believe for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo! Who'd you vote for? God. Hallelujah. Well, aren't you shook up that the wrong one got it? No! The right one stayed in. Where are you coming from? I'm coming from where I belong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you a Democrat or are you a Republican? I'm a Christian. Well, yeah, but what side are you on? I'm a believer. Somebody said you could lose your 501c3 if you're a church that tells what side you're on. Thank God we're safe there. We don't have to promote one kingdom above the other. Amen. God's not a Republican. God's not a Democrat. One is a reproach and the other one's dumb. Democrat. A reproach. What is that? Republican. They got a republic again. Well, what are you? I'm that nasty word called theocracy. Yes. What's that? And God's in control. Yes. Thank God he's in control. Amen. Now, the problem is, with God being in control, you as believers, I hate to tell you this, but you got to quit listening to the promises of the Republicans and the Democrats. You got to look at the promises of God. You following me? That's where you need to focus. That's where your attention needs to focus. There's too much vanity of thinking on the other side of it. You following me? I went to a gas station to get gas with a brother that opened his mouth, and you can tell. He was so full of vain imagination. By the time I got to the gas station, I got to thinking, am I really saved? Am I going to go to heaven? If I am, take me out of here right now. I could not believe the hope that had been removed from his thinking concerning what he is as a believer. None of us are going to lose anything if we keep our attention and focus on the kingdom of heaven. And God will see to it you're taken care of. Because you know what he put in between that which was the Sermon on the Mount and that was the right way to pray for the kingdom of heaven to work in the earth? He put in between there, I'll take care of you. He didn't put in there, I'll take care of you providing you sow so you can reap. He didn't put that issue in there. He said even the animals don't sow or reap. He says, and yet I take care of them. That's the first thing he promised when you became kingdom of heaven. He'll take care of you. And the reason he's not able to take care of you is because you're believing a lie rather than the truth. Maybe you're hooking up with the wrong person or the wrong thing. See, that's why it's important to have the Holy Spirit activated in our life for a daily walk, not a monthly or weekly, a daily walk. Yep. Today is the day of salvation. Yep. Not tomorrow, today. Now I'm going to say something that's going to shock a lot of you, but not one of us in this room, not one of you, hear me out, because your brain is going to lock up, not one of you were saved through the Logos of God. You know what the Logos is? The spoken word. Well, then that makes God the one who spoke it. Absolutely. But I'm going to tell you, here's the problem that many people do not understand. The importance of really realizing Romans chapter 10. Are you ready? It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It does not say faith cometh by the Logos. And the Logos being preached. It says faith come by the Rhema of God. And that's how your faith grows. Yeah. Well, when I saw that, I was really thrown off. I said, what do you mean? By the preaching of men, our faith grows? God said, absolutely. And I said, well, where does the Logos come in? He said, the Logos is the foundation for which Rhema is spoken from. Are you following me? He says, that's why, Mr. Butler, you may claim yourself a good pastor, but you better make sure how you interpret the word of God, my Logos, what I said as being accurate, or you're going to be held accountable because their faith is predicated on your Rhema. Because Rhema is what men speak. And it is important who you give your soul to. Absolutely. And these ministers who call themselves teachers, they better make sure they qualified for the mind of God. And there's only one way you can qualify for the mind of God. You hear the Logos of God in your heart and you speak it out of your mouth with the Rhema. And the word Rhema literally means how men interpret what God says.
Amen.
You go into the four Gospels and it says Jesus opened his mouth in Rhema. The word of God. Why? He was the Logos. Are you following what I'm saying? And so from the time Logos has spoken and you interpret it to be a rhema, you better make sure your rhema is really the Logos. Because you're accountable for what is preached. Why? Because what you speak is where your faith grows. What you're hearing today, your faith will either be in agreement or disagreement with it. But at least I spoke it, and at least you have to make a decision with it. And it's not up for a 4-year reinterpretation. My word is eternal. It is for all time. From the inception of the Logos to the interpretation by Rhema, men in the between get the faith from it. That's why I threw a lot of people off the difference between being saved and salvation. And all of these so-called teachers lumped them together as meaning the same. Well, you got to be careful when you do that, because being saved and salvation is two different things. Being saved, it's God's business, not anybody else's. But salvation is given to you from God. That is your responsibility. It's up to you to grow into it. Now, you wouldn't grow into being saved. You would grow into your salvation. Salvation means your protection, your right, your inheritance, what your kingdom was predicated on that never changes. It's not up one day and down the next. You know what, Mr. Butler? You're not living in reality. You got that right. Well, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I beg to differ with you. I'm so heavenly minded, I am now earthly good. That's just your interpretation. It's cool, isn't it? You know, I love God. He said it in His Word. We just never picked it up. He said, by the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of God trumps it. Trumps it. You guys got it. I do feel the Holy Ghost. This is a good way to look at everything through the eyes of God. Oh, I got to get myself composed here. Hallelujah. You know, the good news about this is we're all in equality with God. That's what he was referring to. When you're, take it not robbery, but call equal with God. And he wasn't referring to his deity. That's not what he was referring to. What he was referring to is your right standing. Yeah. No matter what the world says about their votes, you're still in right standing with God. Yeah. Well, you don't know what I've been through. I know what you've been through. But you know what? Your own physical mind will indict you unless you learn to shut that ignorant thing up.
Yeah, amen.
Our natural thinking gets us in trouble every time. Yep. You get in your prayer closet with God. Some people will go in their prayer closet with God and have victory. And some people will go in their prayer closet and try to have victory. Well, why would they go in their prayer closet and try to have victory? Because every time they stand in the presence of God, this natural mind begins to talking. What do you think you're going to do? Impress God? Besides, you've only been in your prayer closet 2 minutes. Do you think you're going to have an advantage with God? You got to go into your prayer closet and say, look, this is the way it is, natural mind. Your voice means nothing to me right now. Amen. What I'm going to say with my own understanding, what I'm going to say with my tongue has none of your business into it. But you don't understand. What don't I understand? Speaking in tongues is of the devil. I told you to shut your mouth. Get behind me, Satan.
Amen.
That language was given to my spirit, my inner man, so that I could draw the mysteries out, so that I would understand God on a whole different, complete level. Yeah. I got news for you, devil. I'm going to give you a bit of information called truth. And he's going to say, what is that? You hate my guts. You got that right. That's why I don't want you in here. Out.
Yep.
Only the love of God and me are in this prayer closet. We're in here together. Because he loves me. And I love him.
Yep.
Well, you don't understand how you've been. Shut up. I told you had no voice in here. I don't care what I've been in the past. I don't care what has happened to me in the past. I only know that God thinks good thoughts towards me. His expectation of me is always good all the time. When you say God is good, would you get a hold of that? A lot of us can't get a hold of that thought. Why? Because we're so condemned. We've made so many mistakes. You know what God says about mistakes? He says they're nothing but just hiccups. He says, I'm not neutralized by somebody's mistakes.
Right.
He says, when the more mistakes a person has, he says, the more I'll abound towards them to succeed.
Amen.
How would you like your carnal mind saying, you know what you did the other day? And then all of a sudden your spiritual mind kicks in. Doesn't matter. Today is the day of salvation. Yesterday is history. If you hadn't figured this message out by now, it's called putting hope back into where it seemed like everyone was drained of hope. We've got a good future to look forward to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is where we'll shine the best. The darker it gets, the more light you'll shine. Hallelujah. The more you can be positive, the more you can communicate with people and say, oh, I don't care about that. You know what the Word of God says it can do for you? That's why this morning when God spoke to me in the Spirit, I was kind of overwhelmed. He says, you haven't gotten up here. He says, you stop that mess that the enemy is trying to do to them. Stop that mess. That's the way God is. Stop the mess. You know what, people? Quit building a deficit in yourself. Clear yourself. Be reconciled today. Not tomorrow. Not yesterday. Today. You know what the Lord told me? He says, if you want to look in the rearview mirror of your life, he says, there's only one object you should see in the rearview mirror. Only one object. Can anybody guess what it is? There's only one object I see in my rearview mirror if I'm going to look in the path. Jesus on the cross. He died for me. What? You don't understand what happened last Tuesday. Quit looking back unless you can see Jesus on the cross. Now, you know, God commends you for having a conviction within yourself for the mistakes you've made. You understand? But he doesn't want your conviction to turn into condemnation.
Right.
There's a difference between being convicted of something and being condemned for it. When a person is in condemnation, it's because they don't do something that is important. Forgive and forget. That's God's position. That's why there is therefore now no condemning sentence to those that belong to God. But just literally a transformation. The opportunity to think of the mind of the Spirit rather than the mind of the flesh. That gives you hope. That gives you something to look forward to. That gives you the next step. Even though you've made a mistake, God will say, here's where you tripped and here's where you can avoid it. God always looks at the potholes in your road and removes you around them because he loves you. Isn't that a good God? But you know what? If you go down the road of time and you dig your own pothole, you deserve to fall into it. But don't go and blame God for it. There are some people that go down the road and hit every pothole in it. Have you ever ridden with somebody like that? Hey, don't you realize there's holes in this road? I got some news for wisdom here. Don't ride with them. If you have dentures, you'll lose them. You know what I mean? Some of us, but you know what makes it worse? Not only is a road full of potholes, You go down the road and dig more. Think about the vibration then. That's not what life's meant to be for the mind of God for you. Now, God isn't going to come down and say, I'll remove all them potholes for you. God don't remove potholes. God shows you how to maneuver around them. And the maneuvering around the potholes is what I call wisdom. And wisdom will support your faith. Your faith will not exclude wisdom. If you're truly a man and woman of God in faith for God, that means you also have the wisdom of God supporting that faith. I know some people that are just nothing but faith nuts. But when it comes to wisdom, they make every false move you can think of. Are you guys okay? Will you come back? Yes, sirree. Now, the earlier part of my ministry, in closing, the earlier part of my ministry is when I first came into the kingdom of God, I not only had potholes to overcome, I was making some. And I didn't know how to stop digging potholes until I did something that helped me so much. I drew mentors into my life that could not only help me maneuver the potholes I couldn't control, but I could fill in a few that I was digging and quit digging them. And as I went down the road of time, things got a whole lot smoother. My grandmother had a lot to do with that. Because she quoted this scripture to me. I never forgot. And when I get there, I'm going to kiss her. Young, good-looking woman then. Not that she wasn't unpleasant to look at here. But she always said to me, boy, I can hear it. It's clear.
Jan Butler, the hidden things of darkness will always come to light. And I'm going to tell you right now, your sins will always find you out.
Ooh. Ooh. That so grated me because why? Because I liked sinning. And she was scratching on my sin. Now when I get there, I'm going to hug her and kiss her. Grandma, thank you for saying that. And I experienced that. And then she had to add to that.
She says, you talk about faith all the time. You can have faith in that.
That when I sin, it'd come to light. It's too bad a lot of people don't get that revelation. Praise God. So people, I'm going to tell you what. You have a bright future ahead of you. You have the greatest opportunity to pray for your leaders. And even pray for those that didn't, things didn't pan out for them. Because you know what? Jesus said some beautiful things. He said to love the unlovely. To love those that persecuted you. Never hold resentment in your heart for anybody. He did a number on the religious man. It was unfathomable. And if we could just go back there and visit his sermon on that mount, and you and I, knowing what we know today, we would cheer him on. Right in the face of the religious man. Because he wanted the concept, religion wants the concept of the approval of men. But the kingdom of God wants your heart to glorify what he is. Isn't that great? Because if I live by faith, then I can please him. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to please him. And you know you two have? I remember holding you, the little babies, dedicating you to the Lord. And look where you're at. Blessing to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why conviction is greater than condemnation. We all make mistakes. But who's going to say I'm the most mistake-free person on planet Earth? You know, when I worked for Boeing's, I got hired on with this guy. That was what we had gigs back then. And if you had the least gigs on your production in the air, you get rewarded. And so I get in on this gig program that I had no part of. And it had been going on for 8 months. And he was picked as the winner. And guess who won with him? All his associates that were working with him. And I happened to be a newbie. I was there 3 days. And I was told to go with him to this room. And I went, where are we going? And he says, I think they're going to reward us for the lease gigs. And I said, well, not me. I just got here. He says, no, you too. You hired on. And I went, I hired on? So I go in there, and the guy that hired me at Boeing's was the guy that was presenting the gig-free program. And so when I went in there, I saw him, and I went, oh, no, he's going to only know that I've been here 3 days. And you know what he said? He goes and gives us all a reward for the lease gigs. And he comes, and I'm so proud of you that I hired you to pin this gig on you. I said, wow, he's in agreement with it. God's in agreement with you. You serve a kingdom that's gig-free. You're approved of him. Praise God. Oh, well, I don't feel. That's because you're dealing with that other mind. You got to let that other mind be what it is, stupid, dumb. Don't listen to it. Don't pay attention to it, because it only gives you a voice when the voice of God speaks to you. Did you know that? That carnal mind does not speak until you speak or hear the mind of God on the inside of you. And you've got the mind of God speaking, and you've got the mind of the flesh speaking. Guess which one is short-lived? Your natural mind. But when you hear the mind of God, that's an eternal thing. Hallelujah. It's not limited to your five senses. When God speaks, he's beyond that. How would you like to get to heaven and God say, how in the world did you get here? I tell him, I died. Well, we know that. No, it's not physical death I'm referring to. I died when I became a believer. That's when my legacy stopped. Oh. I'm not going to be that stupid to get up there and look at gold on the streets and go, oh my God, look at all this gold. And have an angel tell me it's pavement here. Just pavement. But you let us go. Oh, that's because you lived on earth. You're in a different... By the way, your doorknobs is solid diamond. Really? You know, when you live in heaven, you're going to see the God that never came to you as merchandise, but as his love for you. Isn't that great? And so he will lavish his wealth upon you equally. What a wonderful Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've ever done for any of us in this building. Father, I just feel a spirit of complete freedom for your people this morning. Hallelujah. They might feel they're going under another government rule, but Father, they've always been under your rule. They are free. Say it with me, I'm a free man in Christ. I'm a free man in Christ. Now, women, you're part of the mankind. Amen. I'm a free woman in Christ. You can say it. I'm a free woman in Christ. Men, you can say it too, because you are the bride of Christ. Cool, huh? I got to watch how I define that one. Hallelujah. Stand up, everybody. Praise God. Again, I want to remind you that we're going to reach out to our communities and going into home groups instead of having a Sunday night service. We won't have a Sunday night service until after the end of January is when we're going to. Huh? Except for next week, we're going to have Keith Hershey come in, and people, you don't want to miss Keith Hershey. He is fantastic. And we're going to have a Sunday evening service as well as a Sunday morning when we have special speakers in, because many of our people that work in our children's department love Sunday evening to listen to the speakers. And so we have to give consideration for that. Is that okay with you guys? So just kind of keep informed about when we will have a Sunday evening service, and it'll always be with guest speakers. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for being an ambassador for you. I thank you, Father, that you that you have given us an understanding of what it means to serve your kingdom.
Yes.
And Father, I pray everyone in this building will get a revelation of what it means that you bought them with the price. And Father, you paid the price so that they could come into salvation. You paid the price so that men could understand your kingdom by the preaching of men. It's foolishness to the world, but to those who are not of the world, it's the love and the power and the strength of our Heavenly Father. So Father, today, just before we close, if there's anybody in this service, now we're getting down to doing business with God, and we won't do anything to embarrass you or to make you feel embarrassed. But if there's anybody in this room that has never, ever confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're going to give you the opportunity to do that. You have a right to receive Jesus. You have a right for eternal life. And maybe you've been discouraged with the world and its promises. But I guarantee you the promises of God were without discouragement. Hallelujah. They come with victory. They come with His name attached to it. Hallelujah. And somebody says, well, being saved is escaping from the world. No, it isn't. Being saved is changing the world. You get to change the world. Hallelujah. And so if you've never said the sinner's prayer and you would like to, then when I close the service, you're going to have the freedom to come up here. Also, if you're a believer here this morning and you've been out of fellowship with the Lord, you haven't been close to Him like you should, and you'd like to restore that fellowship with Him, that's so important that He draws close to you so He can lead you daily. We're living in a very dangerous world and we need that leading. We need that leading from the time we leave here till the time we get home. We need that leading. And His Spirit will lead you. And so if you're here and you want to restore your walk with Him, when we end this service, you can feel free to come up. We'd love to pray for you. And if you've really been indoctrinated against the speaking in other tongues, we would love to pray for you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You might have the well of salvation, but you need the rivers of living water that will flow out of your innermost being. I thank God for that language. The church, the religious church has done dishonor to it. But I honor you, Father, and what you've done for my spirit. And if anyone wants to come into that honor, they will have to demote their natural thinking to receive that language. Hallelujah. And so if you fit any one of those areas, I want you to feel free to come up. When I dismiss, come right up. And with that said, Father, may you protect everyone going home. May everyone have a safe trip home.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for the service today. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Those